Thank you, Lord. Open your Bibles to That was really weak. Open your Bibles to Of course. Mark chapter 11. The Spirit of the Lord energized me early this morning. I was on the treadmill early this morning and glory to God, watching Gloria preach and teach on faith. My goodness, that woman can preach. Whew. Got me all stirred up. And I usually walk 45 minutes on my treadmill early in the morning, and I look down there, I've been on that thing 55 minutes. So now I can't go back. Now, all of you chubbies don't understand that. But once you pass 55 minutes, you can't quit less than 55 anymore. What's next? Hour 10. Praise God. Amen. You'll get to where you love it like I do. Now, Jesus answering saith unto them, verse 22, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what, Jesus? Believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass. That's what you believe in your heart. And say with your mouth, he shall have, now listen to Jesus, shall or will, it's the same word. That is the strongest affirmation in the English language. He will. He will. Say, I will.
I will.
He will have, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, that's when you start believing. When you pray, believe that you receive. That word translated receive, I looked it up night before last. Again, it means to take in order to carry away. Take it and walk away with it. Amen. Now, see, that doesn't take anything away from Jesus or away from God, because he's offering it. I just finished writing my partner letter just on the 20th about an experience that I had a number of years ago. Gloria and I went to Little Rock. I was preaching on Sunday morning in the Agape Church in Little Rock for Happy and Jeannie Caldwell. And we checked in, of course, the night before in the hotel. 4:00 in the morning, I just suddenly woke up. Now, I've had this happen to me a couple of times before, one time I'm thinking about now, that I just sat straight up in bed, but this time I didn't do that. I was lying on my back, and all of a sudden, and I just did my head like that. Now, I didn't have my eyes open. It wasn't an open vision. I did when I first woke up, and then I just shut my eyes, because you could tell, oh man, oh glory to God. And suddenly, in the spirit, I saw Jesus right there. And he had this big, I mean, a big tray heaped with cookies. Now you'd think somebody that had a bunch of cookies in his hand would have a smile on his face, right? He didn't. Now he didn't look mad, but he's very stern. He said, have a cookie. Think about it. Have faith in God. He said, have a cookie. Well, what do you say? Okay. He said, your response is, I believe. I will. I take it. I have it. I thank you, and I'm grateful to you for it, and I forgive if I have aught against any. The six eyes of faith. Amen. I have faith in God. And I realized then, after meditating on that, and of course the vision was ended right there in just those few seconds. And I just lay there on the bed meditating on that. And I just imagined myself in this, looked like it was a happy place. It was in a party setting. Everybody was happy. And this person walked up to me and said, have a cookie. I said, no thanks, I already have one. What you need is faith in God. I have faith in God. Can you see it? Well, you will. You meditate on it. You will get it. Now, I wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, we're going somewhere with this. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And, say and. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught, that's anything, against any, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now we know that the Bible says faith worketh by love. Say this, God is love. He doesn't have love. Say it. He doesn't have love. He is love. He has faith. Come on, stay with me. He has faith, but he is love. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. All right. Now then, faith does not work in an unforgiving heart. It won't work in an unforgiving atmosphere. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't realize this until I heard Brother Hagin say it. He said, you can just go check out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, there are other hindrances to faith, but this is the one that Jesus brought up And it's the only thing he said about it. So this one goes at the top of the list. Then you can see it. Once you know that, you can see it in his other teachings right here. Let's look back here at the fourth chapter of Book of Mormon. 14th verse. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. When? Immediately. What does he do? He steals, he kills, and destroys. Now, let me warn you about something. I've noticed this. Well, I didn't notice it, but the Lord called my attention to it. As I listened to other people preach and teach and so forth, and it seems the tendency, and I know it was mine, I quoted it wrong. I kept saying, this is from John 10, I kept saying, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's not what Jesus said. He put the stealing first. Steal what? The word. If he can't steal the word, he can't kill you. If he can't steal the word, he can't destroy anything you have. So his primary goal was not to kill. It's to steal. He's the thief and the killer and the destroyer. So practice that. Practice that. Keep yourself aware of it. When you hear other people say, well, don't judge them. You just notice, no. If you can't steal the word, you can't kill me. So don't put killing first. Are you with me now? All right. Now then, thank you, Lord. Let's get back where we were. On the act of forgiveness. It is an act fulfilling the commandment of God to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength. New Testament. And love your neighbor as yourself. What does that do? That fulfills the law. Then one step further, Jesus said, and love one another even as I have loved you, or love the brethren even as I have loved you. Amen. So now forgiveness falls in an area of commandment, not a suggestion. We're born again believers. We're Holy Ghost people. This is the way we live. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. And bless your heart. Get over it. It's a commandment, babe. This ain't something for you to play with. Yeah, but I'm really not going to do it. You're in real danger. That is a dangerous position to take, especially when you know better. You can get a hold of something like that and walk in it and just let it pass until you just forget it, and it just ride right there in your spirit. And you know, if you listen to what the Bible says, there are people weak, sickly, and die prematurely for not discerning the Lord's body. I'm not talking about discerning what he did on the cross. I'm talking about his body in the earth for not forgiving. Judging somebody and then just go and kind of forget about it. You've got poison down in your spirit. It's poisoning you. Your faith isn't working. I don't care how many confessions you make. Oh, don't we? La, la, la. You might as well sit down and shut up. You don't have anything to say. It's like people that don't vote. Well, I don't like what Mr. Trump, just shut up. You don't have anything to say. You can pray, but you don't have any comment until after November 2020. And you go get yourself up there and I just don't see how come we got socialists and now we got a Muslim. Because the body of Christ sat on their hands. That's not the fault of the people. That's not the fault of the people that voted for those folks. It's the fault of the church for not voting. And I'm going to get on you now, and I'm going to ride you like you had a saddle on you, sweetheart, until November the 2nd of 2020. You're going to get in there, and you're going to vote, and you're going to vote the way God tells you to vote. Thanks to Jesus and Donald Trump, I can preach politics anytime I want to. I never did draw back from it anyway. Sure not gonna do it now that it's legal. Well, it never was illegal. It was just a threat. Nobody has ever lost their tax-exempt status over that Johnson Amendment. Zero. There's no politician in his right mind that wants to pull the status of a church and hand that to the Republicans. That's shouting ground. You can even sit there if you want to. I'm shouting about it. Glory to God. And I don't mind telling you right now and all the rest of you out there, and you can just shut me off if you want to. You just try it. I'm voting for Donald Trump when it comes up 2020 in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I don't kill babies. And I won't vote for anybody that does. And I vote. I haven't missed an election in years and years and years. Glory to God. Well, Brother Copeland, why don't you just keep preaching the gospel? I just got through preaching the gospel to you. If you don't like it, go wait in the car till I get through. I haven't been this stirred up in a long time. Now, forgiveness. Let's go. Yeah. And I want to tell you something. I walk in forgiveness where those things are concerned. I'm very bold about it, but I don't judge the people. I pray for Nancy Pelosi, bless her heart. I pray for her. And I found out her daughter is in a full, big, praise God, full gospel church. Now see, you can go start judging her and you get way out of line. She's Catholic. But I saw her standing there right at George Bush Sr.'s casket, his lying in state. She stopped and went back and stood over that casket. And I said, oh, God, bless her. Oh, God, bless her. Well, you don't know what her motive was. I don't care what her motive was. I love that woman. I love Chuck Schumer. I don't go along with his politics. I love it. You gotta love it. And you gotta forgive. and walk in love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You vote, I love you. You don't vote, I love you. You vote for the wrong side, I love you. Oh, yeah, I love you. But we need to talk. No. Hey. All right. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, where was I? All right, forgive me. I want us to go from this place over to 1 John. And I want us to look in the 4th chapter of 1 John. Praise God. Verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. For herein is our love made perfect, or comes to maturity, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Say it. There is no fear in love. So you don't have to be afraid to forgive somebody. I don't care who they are, how nasty they are, or what they're allowed to do to you. But perfect, don't let that, that's not talking about perfection. That's talking about practicing love. That's talking about living in it, working in it, developing in it, allowing it to develop in you, because God is love. He is perfect. That love is perfect. And it'll begin to perfect you and me. But you have to walk in it, think about it, meditate on it, get it in your heart, say it with your mouth. Glory to God. Just like you could put it there, which Jesus said, have faith in God. You could put it right there, have the God kind of love. That's not something you pray to get. You got it when you're born again. Amen. You're born of love. You're born from above. You're not born of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, the word of love, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You look up the word dear and it's agape, the son of his love. The love son is your Lord and your blood brother. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Perfected, growing, living love casts out fear. It doesn't manage it, it gets rid of it. Fear is the master. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Fear of death is the master fear. All other fears come from the fear of death. You're not afraid of flying, you're afraid of dying. The first death was a murder. All kinds of fears. Fear of people, fear of what they're going to do to me and all that kind of thing. Fear, well, I can't make myself vulnerable here. I mean, you know, I can't do that. No, come on. Yeah, you can. You love them. Just love them. Well, I don't feel anything. Didn't say feel for them. It said love them. You may not even like them, but you can love them. See, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you agape me? Agape is not an act of feeling. It's an act of the will. I will. I love you regardless of what you do. That's the love of God. He loved you before you were born. He loved you when you were born. He loved you when you was mean, before you got saved. Oh, Lord, I look back on Kenneth B.C. and it... But I want you to know, he loved me. And he put me with a woman that loved me unconditionally. And between Glory and Jesus, they jerked a whole lot of slack out of me. Glory to God. Can you see that? That's agape love. And Gloria has proven that out in 57 years of marriage. 13th next month. She's proven it out. She's loved me at my worst. She's loved me at my best. And I'm sitting there all grumped up. She reached over and put her hands on me. And just very sweetly, she said, Kenneth, I find no fault in you. And I know Jesus doesn't either. Oh. Changed that day. There were two specific days like that that really just changed the course of my life. You can do that, but not without a decision. Not without a decision. You have to decide, I believe I will. I take it. I take that kind of love. I have it. I'm so grateful for it. And I forgive if I have aught against it. Thank you. Give him a praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Here's this pain.
Here's this pain.
It's gone from me. Not my pain, you bore mine. Oh, glory be to God. When you begin to keep that commandment, how many things just start straightening up? Thank you, Lord. Now I'm getting somewhere with this. Something that the Lord said to me earlier this morning. Now why is it that God is so interested in your being free and my being free of fear? Because fear hath torment. Worry hath torment. Unforgiveness hath torment. Things torment you. The news torments you. Politicians torment you. People come around you and say things just smiling and it torments you, just irritates you, just aggravate the sap out of you. And you think, why do they aggravate me? Those are nice people. I don't know, but get them out of here. There's fear. Well, I don't have any fear of them. It doesn't have to be fear of them. It's living in you. It's living in there. We're getting there. We're getting close. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians. Well, Brother Copeland, I know all that. I've heard all that. You don't understand what that cow did to me. I'm gonna kill her. Yeah, but you're born again. I know I'm born again. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost. I know it. And God will forgive me when I get done. I'm gonna kill that heifer. I'm tired. I'm sick of that. Yeah, I know you are. More ways than you know. I'm sick of that. I'm tired of seeing her bring her smiley, big old self. I bet she weighs 120 or more. She used to be just as fat as I am, but look at that skinny thing. I'm gonna kill that cow. I'm gonna kill her. I done got it planned out. How you gonna do it, stupid? I'm gonna poison her. Really? Yeah, watch this. I'm gonna drink this poison and then she's gonna die. We've hit on the answer to the question, how dumb can you get? I'm not gonna forgive her. I'm not gonna let her off that easy. It's killing you, not her. It's killing you, not him. Can you see it? The warped, unforgiving mind. Even though you have the mind of Christ, you're not using it. Your mind is not being renewed. Even if it has been renewed in that area, you're not walking in it. Now you're walking in the sin of it. Oh, you're just happy going through your day and all that. Glory to God, Shama, Shama, glory, glory be to Jesus. And all your tongue talking and nothing but a bunch of noise. Amen? Uh-huh. Sure got quiet in here, didn't it? It should. You really need to meditate on this and think on it. One sermon won't do it. And I know there ain't a soul in here that hadn't heard this before. Not a soul in here didn't know it. But there's a soul or two in here that needed to hear it this morning. Could be on account of what happened on the way to church. Just saying. Go on and smile, Wendy. You know, you might as well go on and smile. How'd you know, Brother Copeland? Oh, glory be, swing low. Hallelujah. Lord, I got the joy of the Lord in me this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. We'll do that. Look at the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Follow after love. That's agape. Follow after love. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Praise God. In the Spirit. Isn't that a lovely place to be? In the Spirit. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Glory to God. But now, wait a minute. Let's go back to chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not agape, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could say to a mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and have not agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not agape, it profits me nothing. You just killed all the gifts of the Spirit. You just killed your tithing. You just killed your offerings. You just killed your hundredfold return, and it's just hanging out there. Killed it. And it doesn't take a great big unforgiveness to do it. What's more dangerous is a whole lot of little ones that didn't seem like they're big enough to think anything about. Years ago in Shawnee, Oklahoma, I was preaching meeting there in Roy and Opal Sprague's church. They're in heaven with Jesus now. And you know, it's wonderful. Gloria and I listened to Brother Hagin still a lot, and almost every night in bed. And we were listening to a meeting the other night, and he said something to Brother Millard, who pastored in Sheridan Assembly Church there in Tulsa. This good friend of mine, and Brother Millard's wife was Opal Sprague's sister. Now, you probably never heard any of them. But all of a sudden, my heart and mind just shifted back to those meetings. And Roy and Opal Sprague they helped Gloria and me get started. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about this prophet of God. And I had the opportunity to stay in his home. Amen. And one morning, I was preaching that, was there for 3 weeks there in their church. And Gloria and I lived in a little house. It was a new house that we were in. First new house we ever had. Little small house. And I had gone down to Sears and bought a little air compressor, and paint spray gun. Well, Gloria had stayed home, and bless her heart, you should have seen some of the furniture that she refinished. The little blue table that we had in that little house in Tulsa while going to ORU. She took the three different pieces out of a junk pile and put the table together and then refinished it. Beautiful, just beautiful. Well, I knew she had planned to be doing some refinishing like that out in the garage. Well, it was in a cool time of the year, and it hadn't even occurred to me. And Roy came in there and he said, Brother Kenneth, he said, I think you need to call Gloria right now. I said, what's up? He said, I saw her this morning in the spirit. He said, I saw her out in the area of the garage. I said, yes, sir. He said, she had a spray gun in her hand. I said, yes, sir. He said, the hot water heater's in that garage, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. He said, I saw her spraying out there with the garage door shut, and that spray, after it became, a spray, that hot water heater came on and blew up inside that garage. Man, I ran to the telephone and I called her. Told her what he said. She said, Kenneth, praise God. She said, I had just decided to go out there in the garage and do that. And she said, I don't know. She said, I just had some kind of a check against it. And I thought, well, I'll wait till Kenneth gets home. Hey, come on. Come on. Now, what if Roy Sprague had been an unforgiving man? What if Gloria had been an unforgiving woman? That's the way people get killed. That's the way people die young, not discerning the Lord's body, not walking in forgiveness, not walking in love, not living the life of love, faith, hope, and love. Amen. Are we getting somewhere with this? Boy, it's helping me whether it's doing you any good or not. I'm excited about it. Now then, but think about it. Let's read this in the 13th chapter the other way. I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I have love. I walk in love. I walk. Thank God. Believing and standing in a place where God can use me in prophecy, exhortation, edification, and comfort for other people. I walk in a place where, in love, where I desire the knowledge of His will. Therefore, I walk in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Oh, glory to God. I walk in the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding. It's available to me because my spirit's not all clogged up. I was sitting on my hotel room bed there in Shawnee, Oklahoma, back those years ago in Roy and Opal's church. And I'm just sitting up in the middle of the bed, just praying in the spirit. And just all of a sudden, it was just right up there. I just a little quick vision. Here was this pipe. It looked like it was about 4 or 5 feet long. And it was about a 4 or 5 inch pipe. I mean, that thing is a big pipe like that. And up above that pipe, there was this gush, a stream. Looked like coming out of a fire hose, hitting the end of that pipe. On this end down here, this thing was right up in front of my face like this. And right here, and I could, for a few moments there, I seemed like I could physically feel it. Just, and all that other water is going out the sides of the pipe. It can't get through the pipe. It's obvious that pipe is completely clogged. And then it just vanished. I said, Lord, what is that? He said, that's little grains. Little grains. Not a big mass of obstruction in that pipe. It's little grains that have over a period of time clogged up that pipe. I said, well, what is that? He said, that pipe is your spirit. And he said, it's little grains of unrepented unforgiveness. Things you didn't even think of anymore. I said, like what? I didn't think anything. He said, what about that man selling those cantaloupes out there at the corner of the street down there beside your house? I was, oh, no. This guy has this little deal set up out there and his little umbrella, you know, and his beautiful cantaloupes out there on the table. And our whole family liked cantaloupes, you know, so Gloria stopped and bought half a dozen of those cantaloupes. And so he brought home and set those cantaloupes. Boy, they look good. And took the two good ones in the top of the sack and the other four were spoiled. And he knew it when he did it. Boy, I said, Gloria, I'm going back down there and spank him. There's nobody going to do you like that. She said, no. I said, yeah, I am too. I'm going down there. She said, no, you're not. Okay. But I was mad about that for a week. Never did repent of it. Until it came time to clean out my pipe. That's when I repented of it. Can you see what? See where I'm going with that? That happens all the time. You have to really watch it in restaurants. You have to really watch it in stores. Because the devil will see to it that everywhere you go, somebody will step on your tender toes. He'll see to it that pastor says something. He'll see to it that I say something. And you take it the wrong way. Or who does he think he is? He's talking about me when he said that. Well, I didn't know it, but it probably was. Hey, that's my job. God gets on me, I get on you. You understand that? That's the way this works. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Some of you ain't smiling yet. Oh, that's better. Thank you very much. Amen. The power of forgiveness. The power of love. Listen, God is love. You can't get any more power than that. He is love. Now, what happens when you forgive? That power rises up and radiates. Remember the 26th verse of Mark 11? If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. That was a few days before the cross. Let's go a few days after the cross. Like a couple of thousand years. Think about this. Well, Brother Copeland, you don't understand it. What's the problem? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I killed somebody. What's the Lord say? I know it. I took care of that. Amen. Amen. Yeah, but Lord, I was a whoremonger. I know it. But I took care of that. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Yeah, but Lord, I hate to say this before you, but I was a prostitute. Yeah, I know it. So was my great-grandmother. But I took care of that. Oh, we got somewhere with that one. I no more intended to say that. Amen. The problem is not with Jesus. The problem is with religious people. The problem is with unforgiving people. The problem is with judging people that judge other people. Barcoma, I don't judge other people. Now, wait a minute before you say that. It's a lot easier than you think. When you set yourself up as the standard. Well, I guarantee you this, if that had been me, I wouldn't have done that. I'll tell you this, brother. If I'd have been him, I wouldn't have done that. If you'd have been him, that's what you'd have done.
That's right.
But when you say, I guarantee you, I'd never do that. You set yourself up for a test because you've set a standard. And I guarantee you the devil's going to see to it. And it won't be long getting there. It'll be covered in a different coat, but it'll be the same thing that she did or the same thing that other person did. I don't care if it's a news person or a politician. I don't care who it is or what it is. You're not a judge and neither am I. We're prosperity agents. We're we're the love of God arm of the church. We're Holy Ghost folks. Amen. We're not only just born of the Spirit. Glory to God. We're baptized in the Spirit.
Yes, sir. Amen. Glory to God.
The door to the supernatural has been opened in our lives. And it's up to us to keep it open. He said, earnestly desire. Earnestly desire. Earnestly covet. I thought we weren't supposed to covet. No, he's not supposed to covet the bad stuff.
Right.
Covet's not a bad word. Unless you're coveting something belongs to somebody else.
Yeah.
But the gifts of the Spirit belong to us.
Yeah.
He said, covet, earnestly, desire those manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Covet those things. I need them. I want them. Oh, God. But it's as the Spirit wills. And that's good. He said, covet the best gift. What the best gift? The one you need at the time.
Yes.
Somebody that needs healing doesn't need prophesying to.
Amen.
Unless in that word is the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were making the choice, we'd heal the wrong people. Say the wrong. Last night, I was just listening to Brother Hagin, and he was talking about this woman that lived just across the street from the church that he pastored. And she had three children. And she hardly ever came to church. And she lived across the street. She came about once every 2 or 3 months. She had come once and came to the altar and got saved. And he said, he just couldn't figure this out. She said those little old children would get sick. He never did meet her husband because he worked three jobs during the Depression. He's up and gone and come in late, and Brother Hagin never met him. And she had called and say, Brother Hagin, would you come and pray for my children? And he thought, there's no way she's going to get anything. That woman don't ever even come to church. What am I? But he said, I go over there. And said, she'd be waiting out on the front porch. He said, one time she came all the way out to the curb, met him out there, and said, Brother Hagin, I just got to thinking about it. Now, God loves them little children. He don't want them sick with the flu. And I just got to thinking about it. And I know the Bible says, call the elders of the church, they'll come anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith saves the sick. And she said, I just know they'll be healed. And he said, now she's preaching to me. She said, she got my faith up. So I went in there, and he said, this wasn't one time. He said, this happened a lot. And he said, I put my hand on those little babies, and more than once, they're just hot with fever, and feel their little head, just their little brow just cool down right under your hand. Now, he said, one of my deacons and his wife, a Sunday school teacher, lived across the street on the other side. And it would be a lot of times at the same time when the flu is going around or something, and their children get sick. And he said, I go over there, they call, and I go over there. And I'm talking about the love of God now. And I go over there and I knock on the door and knock on the door. And he said, I was hitting hard enough, hurt my knuckles. He said, I got my pocket knife out of my pocket and banged on it a little louder. Then I heard somebody coming. And I opened the door and she said, oh, it's you. Come on in. He said, well, yeah, you call me. Yeah. And he said, the kids are back here in the back room. And he said, she's walking along behind me. She said, I told Pete there wasn't no use in calling Brother Hagin because we don't ever get anything. Both of them got what they said. So what happened there? Faith worked. Faith worked in one. It didn't in the other one. Faith worketh by love. Praise God. Now, I'm saying that to say this to you. You have to be aware of it all the time. All the time. Thinking about it all the time. Now, if you're walking in the kind of faith and the kind of love that you need to be in like this church is, you'll go back there and pray for them yourself. And you just put your hand on your baby and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, I walk in love and I keep the commandments of love. And there's no way the devil can put this on my babies. Amen. I've submitted myself to you. And I know James 4:7. I submit myself to you. And I resist this virus. I resist this cold. I resist this sickness which is under the curse in my children. You don't come in my household, devil, with this. I resist you. Bye, devil. Not goodbye, bad bye, if there is such a word. Because it said you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Because see, he's the spirit of fear. He's the most afraid being in existence. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of God. He's afraid of everything. Fear drives him. So you and I don't have any business with it.
Absolutely.
How do you get rid of it? Love, love, love. Love, love, love. I'm going to show you something right now. You're going to like it too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. David, bring me... bring up the Amplified translation, please, on my iPad there and bring it to me. On 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, please. We'll read it first in the King James. Fourth verse. Agape suffers long and is kind. Agape envies not. Agape vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Agape never fails. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, kind sir. Now, this is in the classic Amplified translation. And don't read it. Listen, just listen to me. Love. Who is love? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful nor vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. Love is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Do you see where love stays the same way all the time? Never changes. When you live by faith and walk in love, you never have to change because of the times. You don't change, you change the times. I said, you don't change, so you, by faith and walking in love, you change the times around you. It's not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Now, all of you in this room know who Dr. Ben Carson is. I've met him a couple of times. What a wonderful man. And his wife. What, you just sense the you just sense I'm standing here with somebody. Amen. Read his book. Now, I don't remember it word for word, but I'm going to tell you essentially what he said. He said, I was a very angry young man. Very angry young man. He said, I was constantly fighting for my rights. My rights about this course, particularly online in another country or somewhere, don't realize that he's African-American. And he was fighting for his rights. Just fighting everybody. Just mad at everybody. But he got born again. And the love of God got a hold of him. He had a hard time in school. But he had a mama. Thank God for praying mothers. I'd have gone to hell without a praying mother. And so would he. Anyway, he began to get the revelation from heaven. You know, those of you that don't know, he is on President Trump's cabinet today. I would say the most notable neurosurgeon in the world. He did things nobody else had ever done. I won't go into all that. But he said this. When I got in the love of God, he said, all of a sudden, I didn't have to fight for my rights all that much anymore. He said, I just rolled all the care of it over on the Lord. Started loving people. See, he fell in love with this chapter right here. Well, sure, he had rights. And certainly you have rights. And it isn't that you just roll over and play dead. No. And those of you that think that, you're just missing the whole deal. You roll all that care over on God, who is love, according to 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. You roll all of that care over on him and all that fight over on him and let him fight the fight of your rights. I just said something by the Holy Ghost right there. Hallelujah. Well, now listen to this and I'm closing with this. You get down to love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Stand with me, please. We are born of God. We are born from above. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, who is love. Amen. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of love. We're born of love. We have His love. We live in that love. I'm going to go through this very slowly, and I want you to very sincerely follow me out loud. I endure long. I am patient.
I am kind.
I never am envious.
Nor do I boil over with jealousy.
I'm not boastful.
I'm not vainglorious.
I do not display myself haughtily.
I am not conceited.
I'm not arrogant.
I'm not inflated with pride.
By God's grace,
I am never rude
or unmannerly.
I do not act unbecomingly.
Because of the love of God
and His love in me,
never insist on my own rights or my own way.
I'm not self-seeking.
I'm not touchy.
I'm not fretful or resentful.
I take no account
of the evil done to me.
I pay no attention
to a suffered wrong.
I do not rejoice
at injustice
and unrighteousness.
I rejoice when right and truth prevail.
I bear up under anything.
I bear up under everything that comes.
I am ever ready to believe the best.
The best of every person.
My hopes are fadeless.
Under all circumstances.
And because of it,
I endure everything without weakening.
Therefore,
I never
fail.